Welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week's technology, except the week won't be in it, and technology may be, but who knows. I've been working hard. Everyone's ill-prepared. We've got a scratch team together, a fabulous group of people. In fact, actually, Wright is the only one that agreed to do the show with more than a day's notice. So,
on that sad.
Good on you, Wrighty. Joining me, he's done research as well. We wait for the piss taking on that one. Joining me, what a panel. If you're looking for a scratch team, this is the panel you need. Starting me off, Steve, the hair neighbour. How you doing, mate?
I'm not sure about the hair, but this is This is going to be the best show and the best panel ever.
I think so. We've got a variety of topics that can be discussed this week, so we better get going. Next to him, Wrighty.
Hello, mate.
Reviewer.
What? Yeah.
You slowed down. I'm going to say you slowed down a bit, though, boy.
Yeah, no, this week, no. I've been doing parenty stuff, high school, kind of open evens stuff, so concentrating and getting that all sorted. So, but this weekend, I'm a dynamo. Look at me.
I thought you were going to say dinosaur. What are you doing this weekend then, Paul?
I'm writing for BTN. Look at me. I'm good cranking
man.
It up.
Good man. I thought you might be riding an off-road Segway with a hairnet on.
Well, you bought me bloody pick, haven't you? But there you go.
You in a hairnet is not my pick, mate.
That's going to be mine, so deal with it.
Oh, there's the first swear I got to bleep. And talking of swearies, we've got Mr. Gamer on with us, who me and him have had a protracted conversation about what is and is not bleepable. And based on the policy that we formulated, I've released about 4 hours of your time this week, mate, haven't I? Paul Wheatley.
You definitely have. And the thing is, that wasn't even half as bad as a conversation that me, Chiz and Sam had over a Facebook chat while Chiz took great care in listing every swear word he could possibly think of so that we could then score them off. And I mean, there was some that I hadn't even heard of. It was
really.
Yeah, I don't ever want that message to ever release into the internet.
No, I mean, we've.
What was the word that you've never heard of?
I'm not doing that.
No. I said that.
Chat room, please tell us. Do we want to know what that word is?
No, I said I won't entertain the Cambridge University letter word. So anything after that, it's fine. Not worried. The actual phrase we discussed was wank, but based on the fact I left about 8 of them in the Max show last week, I couldn't really start talking, could I?
That's some Max show.
Yeah. It was they had Inatco on today, so and I wasn't on it and I wasn't pissed, so he's come back to the network on the proviso I don't host anymore. Oh, and I got a tweet today from Uno Tim. Thank you, Uno Tim, saying, Carl, what do you mean you're hosting again? I thought it was your network and ranking only guests on it. Bastard.
What's that bloke doing here?
The week in tech, what's happened? No one's done any research. I've brought a story. I've got the story of Mark Shuttleworth talking from Ubuntu about unification of operating systems, which is probably going to be really frigging boring. So, go on, right. You've done some research. You've tried.
Well, I started.
You need to put a link in the chat room as well, because none of us have got a clue what you're talking about.
No.
What would you like to talk about, mate?
It started in the fact that, not that any of us would kind of go to that sort of thing, but at Comic-Con this year, a lot of people signed up for the, I don't know if it is the official app or something like that, but who authenticated their Twitter accounts, and it started posting on their behalf, saying, "Hey, look at me! I'm having a great time. I'm at Comic-Con. I'm at Comic-Con. I'm having a great time, and it's absolutely fantastic." And basically, at the point that they kind of authenticated the Twitter app, it basically posted on their behalf. But one, that's a bit cheeky. But then, obviously, in the last only few hours, Google have changed their terms and conditions and saying that they're going to include us in their ads and promotions, same way that Facebook are going to. So probably my point is kind of the ads that we see on Facebook, the kind of ads we ignore and all that sort of thing, people aren't interested in them anymore. Are we now, we really are now the product, aren't we? We are the kind of advertising force.
Yeah, but
fooling ourselves to think that we never were before. We always were.
No, but yeah. they're now telling us that we are. You know, we were wondering, you know, is all that kind of thing, Gmail's free and Google Plus is free. So and
people signed in, authenticated with their Twitter account, and then the organisers were tweeting out as though they were them.
Yeah, and they had to issue an apology very quickly after.
Oh, that's kind of like the minimum.
Yeah. But, and just to sort of play the other side of this here, and I fully appreciate this doesn't make it okay, but when they authenticated the Twitter app, they would have been taken to the Twitter homepage, which would have asked them if they were okay with Comic-Con posting on their behalf, and they would have just hit allow. Now, I accept that nobody reads that, but nevertheless, they would have been told that that happens.
Hmm.
Yeah, but who reads that rubbish?
No, I get that. But
yeah, but that can't you can't take a right away from someone. You can't. That's almost like an unfair contract, if you like. You know, if you
it says quite clearly, right in the middle. And I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Don't go for it.
Sake of an argument, but it says right in the middle of the screen. You've got your bit that has your picture and your Twitter bio underneath it. It has a little bit of blurb, and then it says in the same size case as everything else on the screen, things that it's going to allow. And so it would have said posting. It would have said if it needed access to your contact details, and it would have said if it needs access to your people you follow and followers and all that kind of stuff. So it would have clearly said that it was going to post on their behalf. I don't think there's any way you could access the Twitter API without doing that.
No, but they were in the Uhura 8 fits and all that sort of thing, and they were just like having a good time. They weren't looking at that. They were just signing up. But the thing that got me is the kind of the way they shirked it off at the end, because the post from Comic Con was, oh, do not fret if NYCCID tweeted you yesterday. We shut this opt-in feature off, so it won't happen again. Have a great blast. And it's like they don't even care. Really, they are just treating people who attend their kind of conferences and all that sort of thing as products now. And
but what do you want them to do?
Well, hang on, because I mean, if you're talking about the status of the document that they've then signed up to get onto the service, if you offer a document to someone that says, you know, here's a free application which allows you to access all the contents of everything that goes on, but you've got to say in return, there's a question there whether there's any consideration because it's a free application. Like service for like service, okay, well, that's the discussion that you're going to have. But if you're talking about an entrapped event where the person gets no information unless they buy the program, in inverted commas, which is, I guess, what it is, then you're removing their right to privacy without any... you're in a catch-22. It's an unfair contract in the way that I would look at that. You know, if I attend your event, you give me an application free of charge, and then when it comes to signing in, you give me a set of agreements that I'm never actually going to read anyway, that are probably going to be pretty draconian, but they're really just to cover your arse so you can post stuff wherever you want. And then lo and behold, you actually start using my Twitter account to send stuff that I don't authorise. Well, my Twitter account is my mouthpiece. I can be prosecuted. Go back to Robin Hood Airport about what my Twitter account says. So I'm afraid there's case law that says... You can't suddenly make yourself my mouthpiece and say that, well, you signed a contract. That is an unfair contract. UCTA would definitely apply in the UK for that. I have no doubt in my mind.
That's the point, isn't it? They just kind of spoke for them. Because they were saying, like, we were having a great time at Comic-Con, and they weren't actually saying it. It's not, you know... And like I say, you tie that in with, you know, what's been released today with Google saying, well... we're going to use you in our ads the same way that Facebook do. It's kind of, you are becoming the product even more and more. This free thing is actually becoming more of a burden than anything else.
Can I just ask how everyone fits in terms of social media now? Is everyone 100% on Twitter, Google+, all the rest of it? How are you actually communicating now with the outside world on the social network? How is it split?
Twitter for me.
100%?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I've got family and friends on Facebook and I struggle to keep up with them. Sharon's very big into Facebook. She's got it on the phone and she uses it on the desktop. And she keeps in touch with my family through Facebook an awful lot. And when I say to them, look, if you're on Twitter, I'd see you far more. I would, but I think... The thing with me with Twitter is it's short and it's quick, and it far more lends itself to the mobile environment than Facebook seems to. And I think that's my excuse. And the other thing is I haven't got time to cross post and check both feeds and all that kind of stuff. So, but I'm Twitter, and my interactions mostly with other people are on Twitter or text.
For me, it's I find myself having to force myself to use Twitter. I have to kind of think about it, and it's a conscious decision for it to go and use Twitter. Whereas Facebook, I likely just open it up, and maybe that's just my nosiness more than anything else. Yeah. And I want to see what everybody else is up to. I don't post that much to either, and the only time I ever open Google Plus is if there's a notification, little red notification icon on it, and then I open it up, and it'll be because somebody's posted something on the Gamer Show page, or it's done the auto backup of my photos or something like that. But I don't post that much to anywhere.
You've been quiet on Twitter lately, but I put that down to personal events. So,
yeah, I think I have reduced my Twitter. Even before I kind of had a baby and got really busy with work.
I thought it was the prosecution. Sorry, man, I've got the wrong thing. My mistake.
That was a couple of months ago.
Oh, okay. It's good you got off.
That's all quieting down now. I don't know. I just can't find one that works really exactly how I want it. I almost want...
But is that not down to the UI rather than the service?
Maybe.
Because, I've got... I moved over to Nokia, and I love my Nokia phone. I found a few issues with it in terms of things that I expected to happen but didn't. But they're annoyances rather than the fault of the OS and stuff like that. But I found Twabbit, and Twabbit is an absolutely gorgeous UI for Twitter. The only fault it's got with it is when you click refresh, it doesn't refresh everything. It just refreshes home, interactions, or... inbox. You have to be on that page and hit refresh for it to actually do it. But I think that's probably going to get done in the next upgrade or something like that. It's a newish application, but it's beautiful as a Twitter interface. And I find myself using it very easily. Tweetbot, I think, is an excellent interface as well.
Is that a Windows phone?
Yeah, Windows Phone 8. Beautiful. Love it. Go on about it every week, but people are tired of it now. And I do believe that I've given it to someone I'd call an Apple fanboy, and they've said they didn't hate it. So,
my in-laws both have Windows phones, and they're quite nice, actually. I was quite shocked when I was playing with it. Quite intuitive as well, you know, not necessarily for them, but if they ask me to sign them into Wi-Fi or set something up or whatever, it's quite easy to jump straight in, find what you need, and get back out again.
I like it. I think it's a very, very good interface. There's an awful lot that iOS could learn from it. And there's the beauty I like of the home screen is one of the things that I said about iOS. You know, I want to be able to create things that are bigger for me so that I can see them when I'm in the car. You know, if there's a customer ringing, I want to know who it is so I can say yes or no to it rather than having to search around. And the beauty of the icons is you can make them into three different sizes. You completely go across the screen, or you can make a square, or you can reduce it in so that you get four squares in the space of one square. And I love that customization. It's ergonomically, it's a very good piece of OS.
You don't get my texts anymore, though.
No, because you send them from your bloody iPad, and I haven't got iCloud anymore. So,
or my
iMessage
computer.
On it. I get them on my computer, but on my iPad, but I don't get them on my
You're antisocial.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I'm antisocial. Batwench has gone into exact statistics over her social networking, mostly Twitter, about 80% Facebook and 10% Google Plus. 10%, nothing else. There we go. Belt says you've always been the product for Google or Facebook and Twitter, and probably meant to add on the end of that sentence, you stupid bastards.
We are.
Mr. Batwinch is going to try to have it. There you go. I can't read that out yet. There we go. So what's your thoughts then, Steve, based on that conversation? Because you've been pretty absent on Twitter of late, I have to say.
Work-wise, yes. Sorry, I blame work. I'm just interested in how it's going to be in 10 years' time, in 5 years' time, because I hate, particularly with Elmer, we've got Elmug, we've got a Google Plus account, we've got a Facebook account, we've got a Meetup account, we've got a Twitter account. And the social media started off as great because you can communicate to everyone. But now it's like we've got to go on six different areas to get the same message out. And there doesn't seem to be that central point where we can go to and collaborate and kind of keep it all in the same place. And then that goes to all the different places. Whoever next comes across and does that in terms of provides a central point that you can go to and then distribute to all of these services is going to be great.
Well, here's the point. I don't think that's going to happen. And my point would be, my contention would be, that 90% of the people that you're appealing to with those social networks are probably heavily got Asperger syndrome or got OCD. And certainly, they're going to flock towards one OS and towards one UI and towards one social service, but then they're going to stream away from that equally when the next one pops up because we've got the attention span of a 6-year-old when it comes to tech.
Yeah, but didn't we all flock to app.net when they did the old free gateway, didn't we? It was 3 or 4 months ago, and how many of us are on there right now?
Now I've even deleted the app off my phone.
Exactly, it was an absolute pointless exercise. It's just one more social network. It's just like stick with one. But I use Facebook like I think the same way Paul said is to look what people are doing. My mum's on Facebook. I'm not posting on there. You know, I'm not posting on there. You know, because of it, Twitter, you say something, and people either react to it or they don't, and you say it and it's gone.
Because
the stream is so fast, and I think it's more like a conversation than anything. The trouble with Facebook is you post something and 3 days later someone goes, "Oh, I feel I've got a really good opinion on that," and you're like, "Oh god, I wish I hadn't said that now." But Twitter is so much better that you get an immediate reaction from the people who see it there and then, and you're only going to say it in the there and now, and you don't want to know about it 3 days later. So I think Twitter is definitely the best way to go.
Steve, you had your hand up.
And I completely forgot what I was going to say because that point was so good.
You good boy.
And you raised your hand for that as well, mate. No, it's such a shame.
A really good point. It'll come back to me.
It'll come back.
But that point from Paul was so good, it just distracted me.
Windrider in the chat room is not in the chat room, sorry, but Batman just said Windrider still uses app.net because he thinks it's quite popular in Oz. Well, that says it all. App.net doesn't have enough people on it, unfortunately, which is true to the same thing as Australia. It's a landmass it's the size of the US and continental US, and it's got the same number of people who live in Edinburgh in it. And Fife and the borders. My story, because I'm going to jump the queue here, my story was Mark Shuttleworth. Now, he was the founder of Canonical, the people that gave us Ubuntu and stuff. And he was saying that the unification of the OS for desktop and for mobile device is rampant. He was gutted that Ubuntu Edge didn't get its sponsorship and funding on the crowdsourcing stuff. And he was saying that there was a clear indication from Apple at the last keynote that they said that the new processors for the iPhone were desktop grade and they were looking to unify the OSs. Now, I mean, historically, and it's not a big history, admittedly, but if you look at Windows 8 as an OS, I mean, I absolutely love it on the phone. It's great. But I can see that would be a horrific experience without a touchscreen. One of the points that Jeff Gamet made the other week was that the Windows Surface RT is a phenomenal device because it utilizes the Touch OS phenomenally, but you go to the Windows Surface Pro and it's suddenly a horrific experience because half of the things that start up and work are not touch-oriented. They're not being programmed and created for that environment. And it was interesting to me with him where the push and pull is on the OS. Is the mobile influencing the desktop or is the desktop moving to the mobile?
I think it's mobile to desktop. We got two Asus laptops in today. They were pro laptops. And, we get the same sort of thing. You know, install Office on that. Yeah, we'll install Office on that. And it's got the touch interface, but it's not optimized for touch. It's still tiny little touch points of little crosses and little drop-down menus. And it's absolutely, it's horrific. It's absolutely horrific. And it's like, I'd rather they disable the touch interface when you go to desktop and use a keyboard and a mouse, because, you know, if why at this point, you know, we've got 8.1 coming out next week, I think, why we haven't got a touch-specific version of Office this far in, you know, a year and a half into a new operating system, is absolutely crazy.
There is a view.
Go on.
There is a view that the world is in paralysis.
Really? Go on.
Yeah, since Steve Jobs disappeared and no one's got the balls to actually grab the world and say, this is what we're going to do, I'm right, follow me, that no one's kind of doing the right thing. So in terms of whether we turn the Office, the iPad type stuff into the computer, and that kind of combination, the combining of that has not really been sorted out yet.
But I don't. And does it need to be?
Everyone's waiting for someone else to go for it in some way to make it work. Other than just providing a laptop with a touchscreen and his button that it can push, it needs to be better than that. But no one's driving it to make it better.
No, but I think Apple are taking. Sorry,
I was going to let Paul jump in there.
Which one?
Oh, good point. Waiters,
fight.
Which one? But I'm not convinced that that's the way to go. I totally get your point. That. You know, we've got these tablets that have cut kind of halfway in between. You've got these desktops that are sort of halfway in between, and nobody's really kind of making the call to say how we're going to deal with touch on the desktop. But I really feel that it's not necessary to make that call. Somebody needs to make the call the other direction and say, hold fire, guys. You use a desktop machine for doing things that are, you know, you need a mouse type equipment or a futuristic version of a mouse or whatever to do your spreadsheets, your heavy-duty spreadsheets, your heavy-duty photo editing. I'm sure you might jump in here and say that's not the case, but
editing,
video editing and all that kind of stuff. And then when you take your iPad and your tablet and your phone and everything like that, you're doing that for maybe just jumping in for do a couple of little changes on the go, or to check your Twitter account, or send an email. It's triage almost when you're on the tablet and the iPhone, and it's actually dealing with the problem when you're back at your desk.
Well, I can guarantee you that Steve Neighbour is going to disagree with you entirely there.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is missed. I mean, if you want to know how to use an iPad, don't get any questions off online databases or articles or blogs from someone who says that they know it. Talk to Steve Neighbour, because this guy is Mr. iPad. And it's a revolution that you've put in your own business.
Really?
Yeah, you are. You don't be coy and shy now, mate. Otherwise, I look a twat.
No, I am a power user of an iPad. I've been described as that. But what I'm trying to say, though, is the whole world is kind of working out what to do with the mouse, with the touch screen, with the keyboard. But Jobs, if he was here, be saying, like, no, you're on the old school stuff. What we move to next is the next level, and this is what it is. And that's what we haven't got, that single point of direction anymore, which is why everyone's kind of working around, like phones, everyone's working around different sizes of phones, trying to work out what it is, rather than just somebody saying, no, this is what it is, we're sticking with it, it's the right thing, we're moving on.
Yeah, but you're in the storming phase, if you like, with mobile phones. You know, there was an iconic phone that created the pathway, and now everyone else is juggling around that and overstepping each other. I mean, you look at a lot of what the iPhone did in the last keynote. It did some catching up to where Windows Phone has been and the Nokia phone has been. And certainly, if you look at the Sony innovation on mobile camera sensors and things like that, Apple are still behind.
Yeah, but Apple is up on the apps, because when I got my iPhone 5 the other week, you know, when I registered it, it said, oh, you can have iWork for free. I downloaded it to my iPhone and my iPad. And as a touch interface kind of productivity suite, it's actually bloody good.
Mm.
You know, and I think, you know, it, maybe not in the hardware kind of thing in the interface, but I think in the apps, they've always been number one. And I'm using Pages, Keynote, and everything on my iPad and my iPhone. I'm really using them heavily now because I think they have got an idea of how the apps work, like GarageBand, iMovie. You know, they've really got a grasp of how touch interface apps really work.
I tell you what, I walked into. Sorry, go on, Paul.
Okay, that's. I still don't feel that's power user though. I mean, I spend probably 80% of my day in a piece of software called Axure, which basically makes prototypes and things like that for mobile. And, well, it actually does it for the web as well, but it's mainly for mobile that I do it for. That is, I can't see how my life would be any way better by using that as a touch interface. It'd be painful. I even find that software painful to use with the touchpad. I have to plug a mouse into my MacBook to use it. And it's stuff like that. I really don't see any time in the next 5 years. I'm not going to go as far as to 10, but in the next 5 years, I can't see me dropping, carrying around a laptop, like a proper laptop, not a touchscreeny surface thing, like a laptop with a mouse plugged in. I just don't see it. And therefore, maybe we have to have that separation and we should stop trying to merge the two. Maybe they just should be separate and we should be trying to make both of those separately better at what they do as opposed to trying to smash them together.
Go on, Steve. No, let Steve talk because you've got a point there that he's probably forgotten.
No, I'm fine. It's really interesting because I use an iPad quite hard at work and I love it when I walk into meetings and somebody shows an app or plugs their iPad in and outdoes me in terms of their sophistication of kind of geekiness and tech stuff. And it happened today. There was a guy who, I was just trying to remember what the app was called because it's a thing, you walk in and see a presentation and you're thinking, what app is he using to do that? Because that is really quite cool. And you don't want to ask. Yeah, you don't want to ask because you want to see if I can be cool. And basically this app was, it was a word analysis. So you put in 400, 500, 1,000 words into the app and then it plums up and it goes, poof, poof, poof. In the biggest font in the middle of the screen is the most featured word. The next featured word is slightly smaller font and it's slightly set back. The next featured word is like, so you can see if you send, so what we were talking about was performance reviews and these are 400 emails to do with performance reviews, put them into cloud. It was cloud something. That was cloud something.
Wordle.
Sorry?
Wordle. Wordle.
Is that cloud Wordle?
Cloud, yeah. It's for making word clouds, basically.
Word cloud. Do I search word cloud then, do I?
Wordle's something that my wife uses in the classroom for kids, and it kind of sounds like what you're talking about.
Right.
And it was great as a presentation tool. It blew everyone away in terms of, wow, that's great. And the iPad is brilliant at that. You can just walk in and just go, you know, that old Keynote stuff. That was what you used to do. But a PC used to do Keynote, Word, Documents. And the iPad has gone, and you can do all of this other stuff. And it's just so easy.
Yeah.
And it's getting quite common now. I'm walking into meetings, everyone's, you know, blowing people away with silly presentation stuff.
Here's my thoughts. Here's my two pence that I've been holding back on. I think people have got it the wrong way around. I think people are thinking that iOS is moving towards Mac OS X, as in you'll be using your MacBook come iMac, and you'll be using OS X on it. You won't be using OS X on it. You'll be using iOS X or whatever it is that comes onto it. And I think it's the other way around. And I think if you look at the processors that they introduced for the iPhone, what you've actually got now is a processor which is capable, with very little work, of running a full OS X application. Now, it's not going to run high-end graphics stuff yet, but it's certainly up to the stage of dealing with things like Pages in its native format. So the iPad in the next event, or maybe next year's event, could actually be something that is capable of running OS X applications to the fullest degree, and pairing with a mouse and keyboard, as it currently can, so that actually when you go on the road for lower level, less graphic intensive applications, what you've effectively got really now is a computer rather than just being an iPad that you can get a keyboard to work with that, that folds open and you can do a bit of typing, but that's it. You know, the lower end graphic stuff will come into it. I reckon that I will be able to get a version in a year's time of Photoshop that works on my iPad that will do all of the editing that I do for 90% of the images that I come across. And then you've got the justification for the higher grade of storage, and you'll get to the 128 gig. Whereas at the moment, there's so much in the cloud that the there is no need for anyone to go beyond 16 to 32 gig. I mean, I've got my iPhone had piles of music on it, and I never went past 16 gig for the last 6 months.
How much music got on your Windows phone?
I've got none.
How many movies got on there?
I've got none because I use my iPad mini, but if you look at the reason I've got no music on the phone is because when you join the Nokia Windows environment, you get Nokia Music, and Nokia Music is effectively Spotify, but there's no subscription and there's no advertisement, so I've got every song that's on Nokia's Windows available to me via 3G.
How's that working out for you then?
I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. I've got to say, I can't...
Are you loving it?
Absolutely. Like thank that. You, mate. No, I've got... I was never... this is, I think, the difference is that if I said to you, Steve, take away your iPad and give you an Android tablet, I think you'd really suffer because you are, in your own estimations and in, to a certain degree mine, I think you're a power user of it. Whereas I was never a power user of the iPhone. I use it to make calls, send texts. I know that's kind of innovative. And do basic stuff, check Twitter, you know, real low level stuff. So
I've not been able to message you though.
Well, I think there was an interesting point when I was on TNT the other week. People were saying, "Oh, we want iMessage for Android." Why on earth would you want to do that? And Jason Howell said, "Well, I don't know because I'm an Android user. I've always been an Android user, and I don't see what it is." But here's the thing: once you've gone from being an iOS user to a different OS, that especially if you've just taken your SIM card out and popped in another device, your iTunes or your iCloud account is now going, well, I can just send iCloud messages, iMessages straight away to that number and it's not a problem. Not realizing that the number that I'm on has no way of decoding that, doesn't reference it whatsoever. And the only way I get iMessages is if I happen to pick up my iPad or I happen to be on my laptop. Now that I'm on Nokia, I've lost that ability entirely. I don't miss it because it's only messages from Steve.
Well, I that was a big thing for me. I decided to take I was 4 months ago. I got a Samsung Galaxy S3 just to try out Android. And that was the one thing that dragged me back into the iOS universe. And it was because my little girl, my 10-year-old, has an iPad and an iPod Touch. And that's how she contacts me when she's at her mum's house. And it's how she contacts me when I'm at work. And we quite often, like during summer holidays and things like that, she'll just ping me now and again just during the day. She'll send me a screenshot of her Minecraft or something like that. And I completely lost that when I went over to the S3.
Yeah.
I think this is an interesting thing because that's what BBM, we all know BBM because they organise and buy it through it. But it's not really... It was just a good way of messaging if you had a BlackBerry. And it's really important being able to text people and et cetera. Yeah. And I've got so used to doing it from an iPad or from a computer or whatever to a phone. So suddenly kind of lose that ability. It's quite interesting.
I think what you're going to see is the next version of iOS will be running or will be capable of running to a certain level standard OS X application. So what you'll see is effectively a merging of the Mac App Store and the iTunes Store rather than what everyone thinks, which is that the mobile OS is going to suddenly start controlling desktops. Because unless you've got touch screen, I think that's a painful, painful experience.
I think they're going to hold back, actually. Because Microsoft have done them a favor in a way, because Microsoft's trying to unify the US across all of their devices. I think Apple have... There's always that kind of thing where iOS and OS X were going to kind of merge. It's always, you know, for the last 2 or 3 years, it's going to be, they were going to merge. And I think Windows 8 is going to be, they've looked at that and gone, actually, that doesn't work. And it hasn't worked because it doesn't work across devices. I think Apple have probably looked and stood back and gone, actually, well, because the fact that when they released, you know, the announcement for the Mavericks, They said, no, this is the desktop for the next 10 years.
I put it to you,
go on,
sir.
Then. I put it to you, sir.
So what you're saying is, in 2 years' time, we can have an iPad, which is reasonably big, 11 inches, whatever it is, and it can run Final Cut Pro.
Yep.
You plug it into a...
at the fullest desktop level.
You plug it into a thingy thing and Bluetooth over to a keyboard, Bluetooth over to a mouse. Who then is going to buy a computer, a MacBook?
I don't think in a couple of years it's going to be able to do that. I think they've stepped away. I don't think they're actually going to want to do that.
If you look at
that, is complete market. That is complete kind of. Who's going to buy it?
No. I think you're missing the point there, Steve, that what you're going to see. I mean, if you look at the, Steve's been party to one of the horrific events of my life this week, which was the failure of my MacBook Pro. The logic board's gone on it. It's currently with Apple, and it's going to be repaired, fortunately. And I'm part of the joint venture program as a business, which is fortunate because one of the features of that is they give you a loaner machine while yours is being repaired. I can get up to 10 devices. They've given me the Retina 15 inch, and that is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I mean, this Retina is half the size of my current 15 inch MacBook Pro in terms of depth and thickness. It is enormously different. Did I cry, says Batwinch? Yes, I did, mate.
I cried on Thursday.
Yeah, mate, I was. MacBook is down. Repeat, MacBook is down.
Yes.
But I think that, you know, the MacBook Pro is not going to be the MacBook Pro anymore. It's going to be an iPad meets it. There's going to be a convergence of the two, and you'll end up with different sizes of screens and processing powers to buy that will do different things. I am already at the thought process of, do you know what? I might get myself a Mac Pro next because it's not particularly huge, and I'll stick it in a bag, and when I get to where I'm going, they'll either have a screen, or I tell you what, when I get there, I'll actually have my own screen because I don't need a huge real estate to do.
So when you turn up in the office, we need another kind of waste bin to throw things into.
Go on.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, I've actually had an influx this week because obviously there's an announcement. Was it next week? There's an Apple event.
Allegedly, 22nd. I have hot news as well.
Okay.
My contact in Apple says that deliveries of non-Haswell computers has slowed, and I'm talking significant. So where you were getting a Retina MacBook Pro at 20 a week, they're down to 20 a day rather. They're down to less than 2 to 3 a week now.
Well,
the word is that in the next 2 weeks, every non-Haswell processor will be upgraded. There you go.
Yeah. Well, I've had a rush on at work because that rumour's got around, because obviously we are going to see the DVD MacBook Pro, aren't we? Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's going to be this next keynote, isn't it? I don't think you're going to see the old MacBook Pro after this keynote.
I don't think they'll say anything about the MacBook Pro. If it does go at this keynote, it'll just go.
It'll just go, yeah. The 15 inch.
I don't think they'll say anything about it. This will just be an iPad and launch of Mavericks.
Yeah. Well, I've quoted 15 original MacBook Pros this week because of the rumor that it would be culled, because people do want that DVD and they've got no need for that Retina screen.
There won't, after this week, there will not be a super drive in your MacBook Pro.
So I was right, wasn't I?
Yeah, and this week, what you'll see is that the 15-inch MacBook Pro will become the same size as the Retina, but will not have the Retina screen, and there'll be no user interchangeable parts, so you will not be fitting standard SSDs into it anymore, and you will not be fitting your own memory into it anymore.
No, well, not saying that I have a corporate account, but there is only one 15-inch configuration this week.
that you can buy?
That you can buy, yes.
And that would be the end of Paul's time. He's got to go to bed now.
So my sister's phoning me.
His carriage is now turning into a pumpkin again.
No, my sister's phoning me. She doesn't live in Norwich. And
good night, Cinders. Good night, Cinders.
That's it.
Stevie, you were going to say something there.
I need a wee.
Oh, okay, go and have one. I thought you'd already gone. You put in the chat room you were going. Go and have one. It's only 4 foot to your right. No, it's only 4 foot to your right. You won't miss anything, mate. It's only going to be Paul Wheatley talking. Go on then, Paul, what were you going to say, mate?
No, I was going to say anything. Sorry, I maybe yawned and made a sound.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
I was going to have a go at you, Mr. Rankin.
Go on, what have I done?
We've discussed in the pub so many times about NFC and why Mac, Apple won't go for the NFC. And your
yeah.
view is that they won't go for the NFC because they will not take a cut.
They can't get 30%.
They will only do it if they get a cut of the expenditure that goes through the system.
Yes.
However, my view is that they only make money on hardware. So therefore, if they sell products through hardware, they're okay to accept that the fact that they're not getting a lot of money for the software stuff or the actual transfers of money.
Mm. Why?
And I have a graph that backs up my claim.
Go on then.
I've posted it in the chat room.
Right, this is Steve's story.
This is Apple revenue by quarter. This is the most recent quarter in 2013.
And do you want the bar chart or do you want the wiggly line graph?
Quarter one, 2013. This is their income. And you can see just how substantial the hardware stuff is compared to the iTunes stuff in terms of revenue. Yes, profit is a different conversation, but they
That's what I would say. I mean, in terms of profit, I would say taking 30%. 30% is a damn fine profit.
Yeah, but if you look at they're making 50% on that hardware revenue.
Yeah, but that's if you look at your own graph there, Steve, iPhone net sales, iPod net sales, and iPad net sales is three quarters of that graph or more. I totally agree with you.
90%.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're making a shitload of money selling hardware. I don't disagree with you. So what you're saying is, would that hardware sell faster if it had NFC in it? No, it won't. And if they put NFC in it, it's an expenditure against the hardware that doesn't need it, and there's no money in it for them. That's my point entirely.
No, I disagree. I think Apple have sold everything on making the hardware as the best hardware they can, therefore it sells. So, for instance, adding the camera onto it, adding the... Let's think.
But that appeals. Yeah, but I agree with you. That appeals to consumers. But NFC doesn't appeal to consumers. Most of them don't even understand it.
Yeah. No, but it would do. If you market it in the right way, if you've got a large marketing budget, if you say you can now pay for things with your phone, get this phone, and you can walk up to the blah, 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 and touch it, and you pay.
In some shops, though. And the infrastructure isn't there at the moment. You can buy what? You can buy in Greg's, Starbucks, and McDonald's. I think that's basically your big change.
Yeah, yeah.
No, NFC stands for Norwich Football Club. That's what
I'm Well, that's sold. I've changed my mind.
Yeah, because you could actually buy Norwich Football Club with your iPhone.
Hey, you have to buy Delia for that. She'll take you down.
Me and Delia have already been down.
Actually was correct with Norfolk Fried Chicken.
Bernard Matthews lives.
Hey, that man tried to shoot me once.
Do you notice how Bernard Matthews always looked like Robert Maxwell? Yeah? Both of them disappeared about the same kind of time.
Don't. I trespassed on his land once. He tried to shoot me with a rifle.
Really?
Really?
Well, there's a story.
Did you report him to the police?
Testament to that story, I will.
So right from the very beginning, tell us all the story.
No, let's not. Let's sit to the table.
Post show.
Steve and I have got £20. I've said, unless there is a revenue stream from NFC, Apple will never fit NFC communications in their phones.
No, it's cheaper.
They haven't got the space.
No, it's cheaper than that. I say the iPhone 6, I can walk into M&S and buy a sandwich with it, the iPhone, and you said no.
Right, so that's 6. That's the cutoff.
Yep.
Yeah, but iPhone 6 will have NFC.
No, into M&S, buy a sandwich.
Sorry. Yeah, but... Aren't Apple talking about these Bluetooth beacons, aren't they? That's their kind of...
Same thing,
their
yeah.
version.
No, it's not the same thing.
No?
It's the same
it's
thing.
It's not no, the same thing.
The bet is I can walk into M&S and buy a sandwich. Doesn't matter whether it's NFC or beacons, does it?
No, because you could buy it with Passbook. That's bull. I said NFC. The conversation I had, they will never fit NFC in an Apple device.
No, they might not. They might NFC might be the Blu-ray of their view.
Yeah, but
Batwedge has gone really anal here. She's put in the... I made that... if anyone ever listens to this show and believes that a fucking word they hear is serious or true or researched or accurate, move on. Because it isn't. And Batwench has got really upset here and said, Robert Maxwell died on the 5th of November, 1991. Bernard Matthews died on the 25th of November, 2010. Not the same time, or even close.
Yeah, but...
I don't know. It was a joke.
Year, to be fair. He tried to say month. Robert Maxwell died.
Who was lighter, Bernard Matthews or Robert Maxwell?
Well, I would have guessed on the 25th of 11th, 2010, it would have been Robert Maxwell, because he'd have been picked to pieces by the Sharks, wouldn't he?
Well, I'm not going to sleep until I find out who was lighter.
Anyway, the only thing I've got...
Maxwell didn't float, though. Batwing says, hold on.
Hold on. Anything.
Stand by.
I've only got turnips to pay with. So what am I going to do?
Turnips. I love turnips. Turnip and Swede mash. You can't beat it.
Give me a touch-sensitive turnip and you're laughing.
A touch-sensitive turnip. They all squeal when you touch them, mate. Paul, have you got a story for us?
I'm going to cheat a little bit because the only story I have is the only thing I've pretty much spent any free time I've had in the last 3 weeks, and that's Grand Theft Auto Online and the lack thereof of Grand Theft Auto Online in the first few days.
Oh, dear.
So we've kind of covered this fairly heavily in the Gamer Show, but I'm afraid I don't really have much more else to talk about. But basically, when it got launched, people couldn't get on it. You had all sorts of problems, people queuing up, waiting in chat, waiting in the foot of the kind of starting sequence and things like that. It was painful. Then eventually managed to get the servers fixed. But what that then resulted in was people were getting in, managing to level up, get some cash, and then the next time they logged in, it was all gone because it wasn't saving their profile. Now, as it happens, in the last sort of 24 to 48 hours, they've released another patch which appears to have fixed that. I have to admit, I was sort of thinking, well, you know what, it doesn't really matter. It's just one of those things. But there's a lot of people out there who are passionately unhappy.
Well, the car stealing thing was a massive issue.
The car stealing thing whereby you could...
The game stole your car, yeah.
Yeah. And you actually had to pay, not real money, to be fair, but you had to work for it to get the cash to then buy a car. And then you had to insure it and put a tracker in it, ridiculously, which is actually a really good idea when you're actually playing the game. But so the tracker allows you to find it anywhere on the map. So if you die and respawn or whatever, you go do a mission, you can find your car again. And the insurance, basically, you phone your insurance company, they bring you a new car if you accidentally drive it into the sea or something. So the game just lost it. That and all your cash and everything like that was just gone. Completely gone.
That's awesome. Yeah. But there is a patch coming, you reckon?
No, the patch arrived. I downloaded it on, I think it was last night, actually. Yeah. May have arrived the night before, because I wasn't on the night before. But
aren't they giving everyone $500,000 as a reward, aren't they?
Well, you see, I read that, but that sort of breaks the system a little bit, because they've created this world that's really nicely... like things are achievable with a bit of work. So you can buy a flat for 80,000 and that's probably maybe two or three nights worth of work for you going and doing like holding up shops and doing missions and things like that. And I kind of feel...
Work in inverted commas.
Yeah. I kind of feel that's an acceptable level. If they then just drop $500,000 on everybody, everybody's going to be able to buy like a really plush little pad. So there's going to be no work required, work again in inverted commas, work required there. You're going to be able to buy a decent car. You're going to be able to soup it up. And everybody's going to be running about in these nails, beautiful cars and in these apartments. And I don't think that solves the problem. That, if anything, makes the game slightly less interesting for me. If that happens, I've not seen it happen yet.
So but, just a question as a layman kind of thing. They're talking about, does it install to the Xbox?
It installs elements of it, yeah. You have to put the disc in and it loads. I don't know if it loads the whole game because you have to keep the CD in, but I don't know if the CD has been kept for DRM or something like that. But.
So if you're a cheapskate like me with a 4 gig Xbox, am I screwed?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. You can stick in external hard drives if you do hit some kind of limit. You can stick like USB drives and things like that in the front of it, and that might get around that. But I don't know actually. I don't know how big it is.
Can't just ask a question, Paul. Sorry. How's the Xbox One going? Do we know in terms of sales and stuff?
I've not seen anything in terms of sales, but I know anecdotally that a lot of places have sold out because I was planning on. I've got my order with Toys R Us just now because Chiz, the cheapskate hound that he is, spent quite some time trying to find the cheapest way to buy an Xbox One and found that if he ordered a £1 toy out of Toys R Us, he then got a £10 online voucher or something.
meanwhile, in terms of value of time, he spent £400.
Oh, yeah. He spent hours looking into this. So he found that Toys R Us was actually the best place to buy it for a four-day period in July or August sometime. But it was like Toys R Us were doing like a birthday weekend that had like 10% discount anyway. And then if you bought this toy, you got another discount. It was ridiculous, convoluted, but it worked.
So do you think this will be bigger or less big than the 360?
I think it'll be a bigger launch day than the 360, definitely. Whether really? It's bigger long term, I don't know. Well, when the 360 came out, it was eight, nine years ago, but I have no memory of hearing about massive sellouts and, you know.
Okay. Will they sell more?
Pre-ordered them and all that kind of stuff.
Will they sell more this year of the one than 360 5 years ago per year?
I don't know.
No,
I don't think so. I think, the funny thing that I'm finding is the amount of people that I'm chatting to, just like people at work, and either they're saying that they've pre-ordered it or their spouse has pre-ordered it or something like that. And I don't remember hearing anybody pre-ordering the Xbox 360. I know very few people that own a 360.
Were pre-orders a big thing then, though?
Well, that's a fair point. And also, you know, 9 years ago, maybe I went about with a different set of people that maybe didn't have the expendable income to pre-order.
I remember Chris Moyles. I remember Chris Moyles on BBC Radio 1 at peak time. Somebody destroyed an Xbox 360, and he was like distraught because he wanted one, and they destroyed it in front of him. So it was big news at the time. We probably forget, but it was a big thing. You know, it was on radio. You know, it was Radio 1 peak time. It was good. It was big stuff.
I think Xbox 360 sales are probably bigger through the middle of his life because, you know, you can buy games at car boot sales, can't you? You know, that's a big thing. Especially
I don't think the 360 is going to live on. There's some great games still on it, and I don't think that it's just going to like die overnight.
Yeah, the graphics are still great.
I think it's the death of consoles. I don't think there will be a bit like the Wii is kind of dying. I think this is it.
I'm going to hold the same argument that I just did for the desktop and the iPad. And you're always going to get, and we'll call them chizzies for want of a better phrase, but you're always going to get people like Chiz. Who just want console gaming and
The big thing with the Xbox 360 was that it had that online gaming experience. You could put a headset on, you could talk to people around the world, you could kick their butt on different games, and you could collaborate over the internet with this speaker thing and headset that was amazing, and it had that real step of improvement. Rather than the graphics, I think that's what brought people together for that unit. Whereas the new one, I don't know what it's got.
Yeah, Steve, you stood to me online, you know. Never, don't do yeah, any more, do you?
You kicked my... And that's what was good about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this one has got that's... I'm not sure if graphics improvements, because it's so good now in terms of graphics. I don't know if that's enough.
But it's not just graphics. I mean, graphics... I think the big thing that they're trying to do is they're trying to make them, it's an entertainment unit for your living room. So, yes, it's an amazing games console that's like jump up in processor, jump up in graphics, jump up in all the rest of it.
It's also
got all this extra stuff for your living room for the rest of the family. And so I think what they're trying to do is take the Xbox 360 experience and maybe, say, a Blu-ray player that's got Netflix and that kind of stuff on it, or maybe an Apple TV is a better example, and a Wii, and sort of smash all those together into a next-gen console.
I think the thing with games, with graphics, is not that the graphics are going to get any better to look at, but what they're going to get better at doing is redraws and frame rates. That's the key. You'll get smoother graphics of the same quality. So, you know, you're still going to be looking at triangles that are being redrawn, but they'll be redrawn faster and they'll be redrawn at a smoother rate across the screen. But you're not going to see photoreal people any better than you currently are.
Well, a friend of a friend, so Steve, another Steve, who's been on the Gamer Show once, he has a friend, or an inside man at Rockstar, who made Rockstar North, who made Grand Theft Auto 5. And they have an Xbox One, apparently, in Rockstar North, and they have played both the Grand Theft Auto 5 Xbox One and the regular one side by side, and it is a noticeable difference in the graphics. Also, Rise Son of Rome apparently is just breathtaking how beautiful the graphics are on that.
All right.
I think graphics are dead.
Is that through refresh, though?
It is possibly refresh, but it's like elements. So you can see it when you're playing, just to use Grand Theft Auto as another example, is when you're at night and you've kind of got a guy who's got maybe a leather jacket on or something like that, the jacket sort of goes purple a little bit, and that's on a nice telly as well, so it's not like my telly's causing the problem. It sort of goes purple and it sort of goes grainy as well. Mm. And that may be refresh. I don't know enough about graphics and that kind of stuff.
Well, the thing that I understand, and I'll gladly stand corrected on this, though, is that all you're watching is a series of triangles that are being shown and reshown on any graphics that you look at. So if you want a smoother curve, you have to draw more triangles, effectively. The polygon has to be created at more frequency. And right. The new graphics are not going to give you new triangles per se, because that means that the developer has to draw the triangles in the characters and in the animations. What you're going to be given is a smoother transition between those triangles than going through the frame rates.
Right.
I am adamant that I don't want 4K as a pro photographer in video. What I actually want is 60 frames a second and 120 frames a second as standard. I couldn't give a stuff about 4K at the moment. Although I know it's better and it looks better, it's not the thing that I aspire to. I want smoother transitions and I want smoother slow motion. Good.
But...
go on.
I think graphics are such a demonstration of the fact that we are old people. we've gone through the transition of going through those black and white Spectrum, Commodore, blah 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 computer games that were great in the 80s, early 80s, and right through to now, which are graphics as a word. We've been debating it for the last 20 years or so. Whereas now, if I sit my kids down, and you know, if you sit your kids down and say, "What do you think about the graphics of that game?" they go, "What are you talking about?
What's graphics?" Yeah.
What's graphics? Yeah. I don't care about graphics, they say. They just want to play the game. And
oh, yeah. Graphics over gameplay has been the big thing with Wii, though, as well, wasn't it? Which was interesting.
And I don't think graphics actually. It'll be. I'm trying to. It's like the vinyl of my generation, because you can always say, "Oh, vinyl was better." The older generation for me say vinyl was better than CD, and my generation will probably say, "Yeah, but graphics is the important thing, and gameplay." And the next generation will say, "What's graphics, Dad? I don't know what graphics are." Just like the generation now say, "What is vinyl?"
No, but mobile gaming shows that, because the graphics are still coming along on mobile gaming, but the playability is there. You know, I used to come home.
Oh, playability's gone down backwards, isn't it?
No.
But it's gone backwards now. With
I think
graphics.
Gameplay.
Yeah, graphics.
Gameplay's gone backwards.
The graphics on mobile devices is 5 years old at best in terms of quality.
But the playability is there more. I think more people are more interested in the mobile game.
PlayStation 2 had better graphics than some of the games that are on iOS that are extremely popular.
The playability of the old games for me was a lot better than the games that we have now.
Yeah.
The games that we have now have a lot better graphics, but it was not playable. Yeah, I'm thinking about the common games like
the crap games.
The swipey, cut the ropes
and stuff. Oh. But it's not these new consoles aren't just about the graphics by any means, and I don't think any news article or anything like that would kind of be shouting about the graphics more than anything else. But the extra their extra power inside them is just going to make those games so much better. So, for example, on your Call of Duties, you will be able, in theory, because of the extra power that's available inside these machines, you'll be able to blow anything up. I mean, anything, like bridges. You know, at the moment, there's only so many things. There's only so many things you can blow up because your computer, your console can only handle remembering how so many different physics and things like that work.
I could blow up bridges.
Let's end up there before. Let's end there before the engineer gets wood. This podcast and all the others. Why don't we do something rude before we go to the sponsors advert? Every bloody week. I even swore with the sponsors logo up last week. Bad news. UK2 sponsor us. They're fantastic. They pick up all our bandwidth. They provide us with dedicated servers and a whole pile of other stuff that goes on. And they're great. They're a nice firm. I do a bit of work for them as well. I made a video for the data centres to advertise that. And they're a good bunch. They're a really nice bunch. If you'd like any web hosting services, if you'd like a domain name, if you'd like anything that's to do with e-commerce or co-location services, anything like that, go and check out UK2. The prices are pretty good, so you'll find that they're there or thereabouts anyway. If you use our offer codes, though, on the sponsors page at BritishTechNetwork.com, you will get 20% off. Log into your account using our link. Just prove that you're a returning BTN customer, and we get the kudos for it. If you just put the offer code into their website without coming through our portal first, then we don't get the credit for that. So they'll just think you got it off a voucher code site or something like that. So, but please support UK2 because they're absolutely fantastic. And they're buying me a curry on Tuesday night. So can't be all bad. Going out for curry in Brick Lane, mate. My second ever Brick Lane curry.
Oh, get that.
And the first one, it was the standard. And it was beautiful, I have to say.
Have a beer for me.
I will. Cobra. Right, here we go. It's time for the cool thing. Starting us off, Stevie Boy Neighbour.
Snap, snap, snap. I can't believe it. In the chat room at the same time, we're both talking about how good the BBC is, and we both said, me and Mr. Batwench, that Elite and BBC was pornographic in terms of how good it was. Oh, back in the day, the BBC computer and Elite, if anyone's ever played it, it's a space game. And you used to travel between solar systems and used to trade. You could
privateer.
It was a bit like the
privateer.
You could trade. You could buy your gold or slaves or
another fantasy of yours.
Gold slaves.
That's enough. Who cares? Yeah, after gold and slave, what else is there?
If you decide, there was lots of gems, all the rest of it, all nice stuff. But if you decided to buy slaves, you were then automatically cast into being a pirate. And then when you flew over to somewhere to trade with, the police would be looking out for you. So you always had to kind of be aware. And if the police, if you could have a one-on-one with the police and take them down with the lasers, and
that was
but if you managed to escape, you'd be all right. You'd make a profit.
iBooker, he says in the chat room, was there a slave layer on it? He's being rude. Carry on.
There is a secondary game that I think it was the Silicon Valley thing where you put money in. Everyone puts money in from the internet.
Kickstarter.
It's a Kickstarter thing to fund a next version of Elite. So hopefully that will come out soon.
Brilliant. Good one.
Did I get away with that as my pick?
No, if you want. It's up to you, mate. You can't pick a game that's 40 years old, though.
No, I can.
That you can't buy anymore.
You probably can.
The Elite Kickstarter pick, is that what you're saying? The Elite 2 Kickstarter project.
It's on BBC Atari.
BBC Atari? Was there a BBC Atari?
BBC...
BBC B.
Micro.
Yeah, great game. Best game ever.
Is that your pick? Are you done now, or do you want anything else?
Yeah, that's me.
That's you. Right, okay. Pussy. Next to him with his next pick, Paulie. How you going, mate? What you got?
Which one?
Which one?
Oh, you're righty. Sorry, mate. Righty, yeah.
Well, two silly one and one decent one. Having a clear out at work the other day, and we pulled out this PowerBook 100 from 1991.
Oh, dude.
Hello.
Can I have that for my collection?
Trackpad goodness. Look at this. Look at this. Feel that knob.
No, <that's bad. laughs> Oh, man alive. If you're on audio. Oh, dear.
But look at this. Look at this beauty. Look.
I like the fact it's grey.
Brick.
It is, yeah.
It's even got the original Apple sticker on the front because they were so proud.
Oh, very good, mate.
They were like, that's going in the skip. I said, you bloody well not.
Really? Look, have you got another from your collection?
I've got some stuff coming. Oh, it's the BTM Museum. I think that's what we've got coming.
Well, I've got my museum behind me.
Yeah?
That's the, yeah, all along me. The reason I put in shelves here, drawers rather, was that I was going to have all my Apple machines up here. So I've got my flower and I've got my 12-inch then and so on.
Yeah, you want this in there, do you?
Well, no, I'd like one of those there. That'd be fantastic, but I don't want to take yours, mate. It's...
Look at that. There you go. That'll go in the skip. I was like, no, bloody well will
not. A chance.
But yeah, absolutely gorgeous. I brought it up tonight. I said to my daughter, I said, the new Mac's out. She went, that's brilliant. She's only 10 years old, bless her. But yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. But my pick this week, you probably saw from, I don't know if you pulled it, but my at the weekend, I did a bit of segueing. Probably saw. Hello?
Keep going. I can hear you.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, hear me? Yeah,
where did you get a segue from then, Paul?
Oh, I went to a segue course. I'm now a stage one segue pilot. So,
wow. I didn't know that existed.
That's yes, awesome. It is. I am a level one segue pilot. I did send you in a picture, but. I'll drop it in the chat room later. But, segrally.com, if you're that way inclined.
How hard out of a scale of 1 to 10 was it? So 10 is impossible. 1 was, like, dead free.
10's impossible. I was, like, a 9. I was, like...
Oh, was it really hard?
I looked like a TWAT. I really did. And they made me wear a hairnet as well. Absolutely.
A hairnet?
Yeah. I don't know if
not a helmet.
No, a hairnet and a helmet. A hairnet and a helmet. But
okay. A health and safety thing. Oh, God.
Yeah. Norfolk Knits, obviously. Absolutely fantastic.
So how much time did you get with the Segway then? How fast do they go?
We got 17 miles an hour.
17 miles an hour? Is that how fast they go?
17 whole miles an hour. I'm now trying to find the picture of me on the bloody Segway, but there you go. I can't find it now.
And how many people were doing the course, and what did it cost to do the course?
Is this a
Norfolk special thing, or
I don't know how much it costs because it was a Christmas present, and it took me till October to book it. Shows what a good husband I am.
But why the hairnet?
cross contamination, I guess. You know?
Was it GM crops that you were riding through, or something?
It's one of those health and safety things between helmet to helmet.
Oh, we went to the Welsh slate mine at Festiniog, and Ellis got nits off the bloody helmet that they gave him there.
There you go. So you was giving me grief for my head.
No, I think you're exactly right to wear it then. Spot on.
Yeah. Hairnet will stop you getting nits, though.
It might. Yeah. No, it might. It's contact, so. Waiters, what you got for us, mate?
I have an iPad app, and it's kind of related to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. It's the NFL Game Pass app. Basically what it does is you are able to watch any NFL match live or after the fact. The best thing about it is the condensed view. So if you just want to catch some other matches and you don't necessarily want to sit for 3.5 hours of your life watching these matches, they do this amazing thing called condensed, which basically cuts out everything that happens between the snap and the down. So when the guy goes down with the ball. And so basically it takes a 3.5 hour NFL match into this 25 and 40 minutes, depending on the match, of just action constant. It just snap, snap, snap. It's absolutely superb. It's a little bit pricey, although the price has gone down now because the season's already underway because we've had 4-5 weeks already. So it's $79.99 Then that takes you through, including the Super Bowl, I believe, as well. But it's an absolutely superb app, and it supports AirPlay as well. So if you're watching a match, you can just fling it straight up to your Apple TV, and you can have it on multiple devices. The only thing I would say is that you can't have it running on two devices at the same time. Now, you may say, why would you want to do that? And it's because I originally intended to share the subscription with my brother. And that didn't work. that didn't work when we both wanted to watch the same match. but it does work if you happen to manage to work out some kind of schedule whereby you watch matches at different times. But absolutely superb. I can't recommend it enough. And it also includes all preseason as well, so you get like the four weeks of preseason matches.
Is that $79 or UK?
UK, $79.99. It's because it's all done through NFL UK. Because that's the other caveat. If the match happens to be on Sky, so if it's a match that's been televised, you can't watch it until, I think, 48 hours after it stops being on Sky because it's blacked out. And you can't even get around that with, like, Unblock US, like Carl, one of Carl's picks from a few weeks back, because it's all part of NFL UK's proposition.
Does it have commentary? And if so, what commentary?
Yep. It has commentary and it varies. It's whatever station in the US happens to hold that game. So sometimes you get commentary from like ABC or CBS or whatever. And it varies match to match. But it's superb. I absolutely love it.
And you said it does include the Super Bowl.
I believe definitely the package I got does include the Super Bowl. Whether the one I've quoted for $79.99 does or not, I can't see on the website at the moment. But certainly the one that I got at the beginning, like I got it before the start season, so it included the 4 weeks of preseason. And I think I paid $120 then, and that definitely included the Super Bowl. But it's gone down in price, as I say, because we're 5 weeks into the season now. But $99.99 if you want the Super Bowl. Sorry, I've just found it on the site. That includes everything that you get on the $79.99 version, including Super Bowl. I can't read that Roman numeral, but whatever the Super Bowl is in Japanese.
Japanese?
It's Roman, mate, actually, but never mind. It should be Roman anyway.
It is Roman, yeah.
Good pick, mate. Good pick.
Yeah, absolutely superb. I love it.
Now, there's times I do this show, I think, why don't I bother? Because I get emails. I get emails from people saying, you're a bastard. Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much.
I am sorry.
It's all right, mate. But I did a pick the other week. Do you remember me talking? Hang on, let me get it over. The Plex Store Blu-ray player.
Oh, your cupboard.
My cupboard, yeah. I've spent the last couple of weeks when I've been around playing with this and ripping me Blu-rays that are up here that previously I didn't think I could put on my server with all my movies on it. So I picked this because it was awesome. Didn't even remember I bought it, but... Someone wrote to me and said, or a couple of people wrote to me actually and said, I've read some forums and that Plex Store thing doesn't actually work at ripping Blu-rays, so you're lying. I'm not lying. You need another piece of software, and the piece of software is an Aurora Blu-ray copy. It's a free piece of software, but don't be a tight ass. Give them some donation. But basically all you do is use Aurora Blu-ray copy to make an ISO out of it, and then you run the ISO through Handbrake. So stuff you, all you bastards that wrote and with death threats and other nasty shit. My Plex Store Blu-ray player plays just fine and rips just fine as long as you do that. It doesn't do it directly through Handbrake. It never did, but...
You make me feel guilty about my email now.
I'm sorry, mate, yeah. And my other pick is Joint Venture. I didn't do the Mac show this week, unfortunately, because I was working today. But Joint Venture is something that saved my bacon this week. It's £350 from Apple. You sign up for it, pay your £350, and then what they do is give you the ability to jump the Genius Bar queue. Hallelujah, brother. You walk into a store, you log onto one of the free computers, and you... pick the next available bar appointment and go and sit at a stall, and someone comes and goes, hello, you. And that's it, you're in. You get a dozen free one-to-one sessions on new software and stuff, which for me, with the new Logic 10 upgrade, there's a couple of things in there that are kind of like, well, I know how to use this, but, you know, that's a bit different and that's a bit different. So I'm going to have a few of those to get myself up to speed on it. And also what they do, and this is the best bit, is if you've got it up to 10 devices at once, they're willing to let you have a replacement device while yours is being fixed. So when my MacBook went kaflooey, I took it into the Regent Street store. I want to say a huge thank you to Ben from the customer, the business service team there as well, who was fantastic, and Robert, the genius, who helped me as well. He was absolutely brilliant. So Ben and Robert at Regent Street, thank you very, very much. You did a fabulous job this week and saved my bacon. I have got a Retina Pro, MacBook Pro in front of me now, which they have loaned me so that I can do my work for the rest. Oh, they fixed mine, which has got a bit of a logical problem, apparently. It's well worth the money. £350. Anywhere in the world, you walk to the front of the Genius Bar queue, anywhere in the world, they'll give you a replacement device while yours is being repaired for £350.
£350 a year, is it?
A year. I will be paying next year. And I've got to say, actually, the only doubt, since switching to Nokia, I've had no doubts whatsoever. I've really enjoyed it, and I've had a few kind of, bugger, how do you do that? And I've had to figure it out. Contacts was a bit painful at the start of last week. But the only thing that's made me think it would be good to stay with iPhone is the fact that if anything did go wrong with my Nokia device, where do I go? I can't walk to the front of a queue in the middle of a store in the middle of London and get a brand new device while mine's being repaired, regardless. So that's the first time I've actually sat and thought, there's a big sales pitch for iPhone. Go on, Steve.
I've actually got an app that I can recommend if you want.
Oh, go on then.
I've done it before, actually. It's the same app. It's Push Up Pro. That's the icon. So this is an app I've been struggling with.
Do you have to touch your nose on the screen or something to do a proper push-up?
Yeah, I've done it before. You remember it?
No, I just figured it would be something that inane. Yeah, go on, give us a demo then, mate. Get the camera down. Let's have a see.
No, I'm not doing a demo. Push-up Pro is brilliant. It's really amazing. I could probably, when I first started this, I could probably do 15, maybe 7 push-ups by myself.
You know, 7's less than 15, right?
Yeah. But basically what it does is gives you a training thing. So you can start off on day one. So day one, you do 2 press-ups, then you have a 2-minute rest, then you do 3, and then you do 4, and then you do 3, and then you do 2.
Right.
And then day 3, day 4, it kind of stretches you up to the day 8 where you do 12 and then 8 and 8 and 10 and 8. You do press-ups in gaps of 5. And it slowly just builds you up and it reminds you every day. And it knows how quickly or slowly you do the press-ups. So it then adjusts the future kind of number of press-ups that you do. So therefore, it then says, well, now it'll take 4 days because you did really badly at the last one and kind of have another go at it. And it's really good. It just gets in you, particularly the gamer types, and you just kind of go on and on and on through the levels. And it's good. Really good. Press-up Pro.
There we go. There's a picture of the icon for you if you're watching the video thing.
Oh, yeah, well done.
What's the price, dude?
What's the price? Oh, it's about £1, I think. It's £1 something over.
At £1 and all the sweat you can generate. Jolly good.
Yeah.
Excellent pick, mate.
Thanks, mate.
I lack upper body strength, so I won't be doing that. I'll buy it.
Could you do 2 press-ups?
I could.
Go on, then.
I can't do it on camera because the camera's fixed to the wall. So
download it, and I bet you have a go for a week.
What, to do 2 press-ups? It would take me a week maybe to do 2 press-ups.
No, download it and have a go.
I will. All right, you're on.
Download it and have a go.
I will. Okay, mate.
Promise?
I promise. I shall do it tomorrow. Mañana. I've done the advert, so all we've got to do is where can we get hold of you then? So, Stevie Ray, where are you, mate?
On the 22nd of October in London, we are hosting the keynote, the Apple keynote. Uh-huh. And we are going to give away a 500 gigabyte, that's right, isn't it?
Go on.
SSD.
Really?
Yeah.
512 SSD, that's a good price.
I think we're going to give that away.
That's 250, 300 quid's worth.
Yeah.
As long as it's not a Kingston.
We'll do the crucial thing. That's the way we roll.
22nd. It's at the old Explorer pub, off Oxford Street, Oxford Circus.
You did the better job better than me.
Oh, no, I just figured you were going to forget that bit. That was all.
I do.
I'll be there. You'll be there.
If you've not come along.
You should. It is a good night. I can vouch from there.
Yep. It's
excellent.
Thanks, mate.
Excellent. I'll be there throwing abuse, and Steve will be telling me off for throwing abuse. Most definitely. And you're chairman of the London Mac user group, aren't you? So
Yeah, somewhere.
That's the other bit that was missing. Never mind. Righty, where are you, boy?
Hello, mate. I'm at Paulum's on Twitter, and I promise to be picking up the pace back at BTN on the old reviews.
You are still the ace reviewer, mate. Just because you've had a week off, don't worry about it. We're still impressed. I have got the device for review. No, I have got the device. I've got a brand new mobile phone for review. Hang on a sec.
Because I was giving Nokia giving some grief with it this week, weren't we?
Here you go. This is my brand new phone for review.
Wait for delay. Ready? Oh, yes.
Now,
I still don't see it yet.
Oh, yes, it's because you're in the borders. Scotland gets everything 20 minutes later. So, now, this has been... I'm not kidding you. This is a review unit.
Turn it on, Ewan.
I have been sent this phone as a review unit. This is the Binatone brick. Are you ready? There you go.
There's a screen as well. Show the screen.
There's the screen. It's a real phone. It's a real mobile phone. It actually makes calls. You put a SIM in it and it works.
10 minute standby.
What's the battery life on standby on this?
10 minutes.
2 weeks. 14 days. On the blurb, it says that the battery life on standby is 14 days. And here's the best bit. When you take the cover off the back, they've had to put a spacer in because they've got too much frigging space in the back to deal with. That's the battery. And because of the low res of the screen, it's got 2 weeks of battery life in there on standby. You put it in, and there's so much frigging free space in the thing that they've had to make a spacer to block it out. It's awesome.
There'll probably be sandwiches in there.
I was at Steve's workplace last week, or this week, and... Steve yesterday took this round into all the meetings, took the SIM out of his BlackBerry and shoved it in it. But it works.
It's quite a good conversational piece, actually. I'm head of innovation and this is my new phone.
It's better than a BlackBerry.
Which is the on tone, but here you go. Here's the off tone.
That sounds like on.
The Binatone brick. There will be a review up on the BTN site, but that is my brand new phone review unit. There you go. And you can Bluetooth pair it as well. So if you don't want to actually take your SIM out and put it in because you want your calendar or something, you can just pair it via Bluetooth and you can run around with this on.
Just for your review. So go on.
Has it got Angry Birds?
No. Mate, it hasn't even got Snake on it. So.
Just for your review, I really struggled amazingly after putting my SIM into it for 5 minutes. I can't text. And I was like, wow, it was amazing how quickly I was decrippled for not being able to text.
There's no text whatsoever on it. You can make a call, that is it.
So therefore, I would recommend pairing via Bluetooth the phone to it. So if a phone call, actual phone call comes through, it's good.
Chat room's gone mad. Bookery says, are you happy to see me or is that a cell phone in your pocket? Batwinch wants to know.
Doesn't fit in your pocket.
Why? There's no pockets big enough for this thing, mate. No chance without it sticking out. It's all wrong. It has the coloured screen. It shouldn't have the coloured screen. Does it have the Worms game on it? If you took the spacer out, could you upgrade to a 6 month battery?
Okay. I issue a challenge. I will send you the PowerBook 100.
Go on.
If we get a picture of you in a public place with that phone and this laptop in a highly public place.
Well, mate, I'm on the internet with 26,000 people listening to this show, so I think I could fake that.
I'll send you this.
That'll
then.
Do. No, you don't have to send me that. That's yours to keep, mate. I just...
Exactly what that is.
The internet. Ewan, make yourself look a twat on the internet and we'll send you something. Bit late for that, really, isn't it?
Is it a life, isn't it?
Well, walk into Harrods and demand one of those phones.
I bought this 32 years ago and it's stopped bloody working. Where can we get a hold of you then, Mr. Neighbour?
Steve Neighbour, NAYBOUR, on Twitter. The London Mac Users Group is what I hang around with. And come along and all meet us on the 22nd, which is the next keynote.
It should be great. It's good fun. It's good night. The pub's good. The beer's good. The company's excellent. Don't miss it. Is it? It's free for members and £5 for non-members?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the guys that write the Sky Go app sometimes come, and it's worth just going just to give them shit about how crap it is in terms of viability for other devices.
There was like 6 of them turned up on Mass last time, and it was great. We just took the mick out of them all night.
Steve says, is there any questions? I just said, yeah, is the Sky Go app going to allow me to play it on my Apple TV? And the bloke just went, never. You grumpy ass.
I love the people that come from Apple who don't actually say they work from Apple and just pretend they don't.
Shh, they're my friends.
Yeah.
Friends, in inverted commas. Mr. Wheatley, where are you?
You can get me at Paul Wheatley on Twitter and also on The Gamer Show on this network. And we've just started planning the Gamer Show Christmas quiz and subsequent party and whatnot.
Excellent.
So, all good.
We're looking forward.
Where is that? Where is that?
Down in the Borders, in Gala Shields, in the Scottish Borders. It's likely to be the weekend of the 15th of December, but not 100% on that yet.
Okay. All comers welcome?
Yeah, everybody's welcome.
Is the local hostelry where we can check in for overnight accommodation?
That's a good question. I'm assuming... caught me off guard here. I'm assuming that I'll be able to kind of sort something out for links to local B&Bs, but I can't vouch for any of them, to be honest.
Right. So
for the record, there is no Premier Inns, there is no Travel Lodges, there is no branded franchises of any kind of hotel accommodation.
And no inside
20-mile radius.
Okay. No inside toilets.
There's no trains, there are no motorways. Genuinely, there are no trains and no motorways within a 20-mile radius of us. So if you're coming, drive, and you have to take your life in your hand with local B&Bs, but it'll be fun.
Okay,
Do you have a helicopter landing strip?
No, I believe a farmer about 10 miles from me has a runway, so if you have your own private plane, I think you can land there. But
I checked into a pub in Knock, up near Aberdeen, years ago. And I walked into the place, I stood there, they watched me check in, and I went upstairs and I got changed, and about an hour and a half later I came down to go and get some dinner. The entire village has turned out to watch The Fresh Blood. And I'm not joking you, I sat and ate my dinner, and I had 60 pairs of eyes watching me eat my dinner. So that's how an Englishman eats his dinner. Oh, that's amazing. So similar.
Expand the gene pool, please.
Oh, mate, there was no question there was interbreeding there. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, Dark Knights. If you're listening from Knock, you're not. I know no one from Knock listens to this podcast. Oh, Christ, they haven't even got public telephones yet. Righty, where are you?
Oh, you fancy me again, do you? Okay, I'm at Portland.
Have we done you already?
You've done me. I've been done twice tonight, but you know. Promotion? No.
All right.
At Portland on Twitter and picking up the pace on BCN.
Oh, good, man.
I always do.
Do apologise. Right, I'm Ewan Rankin on Twitter and no clue whether I'm in. My life's not my own. We'll see you back again soon. Carl did the Mac show today with Anatco, which should be a good one. They had a good conversation because Andy was suggesting that he wanted Apple to do nothing over 2014 except make what they've got work. Oh, that's going to get published. No question. See you all soon. Thanks for listening.